Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Kuf Yud Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the third line from the top on Daf Kuf Yud Dalid, before learning the Gemara itself, we glance at the outside margin in which you find a topic heading that we call No Say, at which point we've written Eitzos Good Ideas Beinyan Hergele Achila, eating practices. The Gemara. Omar Rabo Bar Bar Chana Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishmeid Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi Echol Botzol Veshev Betzel. Eat Botzol. Botzol literally are onions. The Rashbam points out is really eat vegetables. Vegetables being considered an inexpensive food item, and sit in the shade of your home, and thereby not extending yourself, overextending yourself financially, and thereby able to enjoy your house without having come to sell it. This is in contrast to something that we'll see very soon, the lo techul avozim v'tarnegolim v'yehei libcho roidei folecho, and don't eat, these are different types of fowl, of bird meat, which is, in the as far as the Gemara is concerned, is very expensive. Don't eat avozim and tarnagolim and end up having to live in debt and come to sell your possessions. Pachois mimichlecha umimishtecha, spend less than you can actually afford for your food and drink. The toisif al diroscha, and add more in terms of expenses, pay more for a decent dwelling. Ki also ulo omar, misla maslin b'marovo. The word misla is associated with the word moshal in Aramaic. The tuf will take the place of the shin in Hebrew. So they say a moshal, an analogy in Eretz Yisrael. The ochil al yisa, toshi ba'alisa. There's a play on words over here, that one who eats al-yusa is considered fatty or rich meat, who is a regular, who's constantly eating this expensive meat, he'll have to run off and hide in his attic. He'll try to run away from people that are trying to collect the debts that you owe them. If you're living beyond your means, so obviously you're borrowing money to buy these expensive items, and the creditors are going to come collecting from you. So one who lives like that will end up running up to a hideaway. The ochil kakuli, one who eats kakuli, kakuli is interpreted as vegetables. And notice the continued play on words, akilkuli demasa shochiv. He'll be able to dwell on in a place that literally on garbage heaps, but the intent here is a place that everyone is found. He can dwell in public and doesn't have to be afraid of anyone coming to collect from him. So, as you can see in the last couple lines, a piece of very solid advice that where one can minimize his expenses, especially in the realm of food and drink, he ought to do so, because otherwise one who lives beyond his means will find himself besieged by creditors. Mishnah. Mozgu lo kois rishon. We're turning to the Seder night. The first cup is filled up. This is the cup that over which Kiddush will be recited. The issue that the Mishnah deals with is the two primary brachas that one finds in Kiddush. You have the bracha over the wine, borei pri hagefen, and the Kiddush text itself, which comes first. Beis Shammai omrim mevorach al hayoyim, v'achar kach mevorach al hayayin. Beis Shammai says that the bracha over the sanctification of the day, the Kiddush text, precedes the bracha over the wine. Ubeisila omrim mevorach al hayayin v'achakach mevorach al hayoyim. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara presents a Tanaic source, and you can see that it appears in a frame, as do all Tanaic sources that the Gemara cites, and we do this in our marking so as to set apart Tanaic literature from the rest of the Gemara. The source elaborates on this machlokas, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. It presents a more elaborate form of their machlokas, each one giving reasons for their position. Devarim Shebein Beis Shammai uBeis Hillel Besuda. There are a number of items that are featured in Maseches Brochas over which Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue concerning meals. In this particular source, we're not going to get involved with with any extensive list of topics. We're limiting this discussion to the issue of the Kiddush. Beis Shammai omrim mevorach al hayoyim v'achakach mevorach al hayayin. Now why? Number one, b'nei shayoyim goyreim l'yayin sheyavo. The day causes the wine to be brought. In other words, the entering of the holy day, that causes the wine to be brought. Number two, ukvar kidesh hayoyim v'adayin yayin lo ba. The day has set in. In other words, at nightfall, the holiday, the Shabbos or the Yom Tov, sets in, and the wine has not been brought out yet. So the day comes first. Ubeis Hillel omrim mevorach al hayayin v'achakach mevorach al hayoyim. One is to make the bracha over the wine before the Kiddush text. B'nei shayayin goreim l'kiddush shetei omer. It's because one has wine that causes the recitation of the Kiddush passage to be recited. Dover Acher, another explanation. Birkas Hayayin Tadiro, Birkas Hayom Eino Tadiro. The bracha recited over wine is most likely recited on a more regular basis, a more common basis, than the bracha recited over the sanctification of the day. Todir Vesheno Todir, when you have a competition or a challenge over which to choose the common versus the less common, todir kodem, the more frequent item precedes the less frequent. V'hilchasa kedivrei Beis Hillel. And we are to rule like Beis Hillel. That would mean that one recites the bracha over the wine before the bracha that constitutes the Kiddush. My dover achir. Here the Gemara asks, what is the need for the Dover Acher comment that we saw in the source? And you notice in the source we squiggle underline the expression Dover Acher so as to be able to draw your attention to that point. Why was it necessary to bring in that the second statement? The Gemara answers, V'chitema hosam tarti v'hochochada. Had I not had the Dover Acher statement, I might have thought that we should follow Beis Shammai by virtue of the fact that he offers two reasons. One was that the Yom is Goreim, the wine to be brought, that the holy day causes the wine to be brought, and the second reason he gave was that giving precedence to the Kiddush text over the wine bracha is because the day sets in before a person is ready to make Kiddush. He's at shul, davening, praying, and only afterwards comes home, and only then the wine is brought out. So you see that the day sets in before the wine is brought out. So by virtue of the fact that Beis Shammai offers two reasons, had I not had the Dover Acher, I might have thought that, well, two against one, we'll follow he who gives two reasons. Therefore, the source informs us, Hocha Nami, so too in the case of Beis Hillel, Tarti Ninu. He has two reasons for the justification of having the wine bracha, the Birchas Hanen, in the Borei Pri HaGefen bracha recited first. The first reason he mentioned was that the wine causes the Kiddush to be said, and then there is a second reason, and that's Todir V'Sheino Todir, Todir Kodem. That which is more common, more frequent precedes that which is less frequent. We had seen the teaching that v'halocha kedivrei Beis Hillel. You'll notice we have little arrows to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara just to remind us of where it appeared, and it's a mere two lines ago. The Gemara asks, of what necessity was there to point that we are going to follow Beis Hillel? Pshita, tahanofik baskol. It's obvious that we follow Beis Hillel because there had been a heavenly voice that issued, that announced that when there's a machlokes, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, you follow Beis Hillel. So why is it necessary to be taught that the halacha is to follow Beis Hillel when we know that already from the baskol, from this heavenly voice? Number one, Iboy Esema Kodem Baskol. It could be that this source is taught before, historically speaking, before the baskol ever came forth. Number two, V'Iboy Esema Le'achar Baskol. It could be that this source is after the baskol announced that we follow Beis Hillel, but not everyone feels that one is bound to announcements that come forth from heavenly voices. For Rabbi Yeshua, he, and Rabbi Yeshua is one of those that holds the Omar Ein Mashgichin Bebaskol, that we don't listen, we don't pay attention to the heavenly voices. In other words, the heavenly voice doesn't have the power to dictate our halachic practice. Therefore, it is of necessity to teach me that the halacha is like Beis Hillel, being that the mere fact that it was announced by a heavenly voice was in and of itself of no consequence. The Mishnah. The Mishnah represents the continuation of the Seder. Heviu Lefonov. After the Kiddush is recited, they bring to him, they bring out to the Seder, the vegetables. Mitabel b'chazeres ad shimagia l'parperes hapas. There is a dipping that takes place using the chazeres, and it must be pointed out that chazeres is the vegetable item that is most suitable for the fulfillment of the Moror mitzvah, the mitzvah of Moror. The Mishnah is telling us that right after the Kiddush, one dips the chazeres ad shemagia l'parperes hapas. This phrase means he's doing this dipping prior to the mitzvah of Moror. The expression ad shimagia simply means before he gets to parperes hapas. Parperes hapas means, in this context, it means the mitzvah of Moror. So what are we describing so far? When one finishes the Kiddush, the chazeres vegetable is brought out, and it's brought out for a dipping. We're familiar with this. Many of us are familiar with the point in the Seder called karpas, where a vegetable is dipped in salt water. That is basically what the Mishnah is referring to. However, what's a specific note is that he is using, as the karpas vegetable, he's using chazeres. Chazeres just so happens to be the vegetable which one uses in order to fulfill the moror obligation. So that's something that's quite noteworthy and will be the feature of a lengthy discussion in the Gemara. So far, we have the karpas dipping. The Mishnah continues, Heviu lefonov matzo v'chazeres v'charoses u'shnei tavshilin. After the karpas, we bring out the matzah, the chazeres. Notice the term chazeres appears again. Here it's in the context of moror, the charoses, and two cooked items. Afapi she'ein charoses mitzvah. The charoses is brought out, even though, according to the first opinion in the Mishnah, that it itself is not a mitzvah. It's not obligatory. Rabbi Elozer, Rabbi Tzadok, Omer mitzvah. According to Rabbi Elozer, Rabbi Tzadok, the charoses is a mitzvah. Uva mikdash, if we were at the times of the Beis HaMikdash, hoyu mevi'in lefonov gufoi shel Pesach. They would bring out the Korban Pesach sacrifice itself. As we turn to the top of Amud Beis, we embark on a discussion concerning a very, very well-known Talmudic topic, and we feature this in our topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei, Mitzvois Tzriches Kavona. The issue is that when performing a mitzvah, does one have to have a very specific and concentrated mindset that what he is doing now as an act of fulfilling the specific mitzvah at hand. We'll call this a high level of awareness of mitzvah fulfillment. Reish Lakish opens up the Gemara with a point, and you'll see that we have a long point marking. That's indicated by the nun that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, followed by a vertical dashed line, indicating that all the lines of the Gemara opposite this section form his point. In the outside margin, we have a mivneh, a structural note, because in the Gemara itself, we notice a little house marking around Reish Lakish's name. Here we will describe the role of this house marking. So with the point facing upwards, it features Reish Lakish, who holds Tzrichos Kavona, that mitzvah fulfillment requires specific concentration on the mitzvah being performed. Ubosis Lidvarov, and we'll also see comments in the Gemara that support his idea. That will be with the point facing upwards. When we notice the house flipping over, those are hatkafot negdo, those are attacks on his position. So Reish Lakish is of the opinion that a mitzvah, in order for one to fulfill it, would have to be concentrating on the mitzvah itself and doing the action in concert with concentration, with the mental state that what he is doing is an act of fulfilling that specific mitzvah. The Gemara. Omar Reish Lakish, Zosomeris, from our Mishnah, we can conclude mitzvos tzrichos kavona, that mitzvos, in order to fulfill them, you have to have specific intent to fulfill that specific mitzvah. And if you don't have the intent to fulfill that specific mitzvah, then it is not considered fulfilled. Before we learn the Gemara, let us see how this ties into the Mishnah. The Mishnah featured the use of chazeres, which is a moror material, very early in the Seder, ritual. In fact, the moror vegetable, the chazeres, was being used to fulfill the karpas practice. So what do we have? We have a substance that is suitable for moror, and yet he is not fulfilling the mitzvah of moror. In fact, he will do the moror later on, and at that later stage, after he's recited the Haggadah, he'll be using the same material, the same chazeres vegetable, and using it then and making a bracha over it for the purpose of the mitzvah of moror. But at this early stage, the Mishnah is telling us he's using the moror material and in fact is not fulfilling the mitzvah of moror. How could it be? How could it be that he's using the moror material and he's going to eat it, and yet he's not going to be fulfilling the mitzvah of moror? The fact is, according to the way Reish Lakish sees things, since his mind is not on moror, his mind is on the dipping, the first dipping, which is the karpas dipping, since his mind is not on the fulfillment of the mitzvah of moror, even though functionally or action-wise he's going through the motions of eating moror, he's not going to fulfill the mitzvah of moror because he doesn't have kavona. Mitzvahs are not fulfilled unless one has kavona for that mitzvah. And in this case, he does not have kavona for moror. The Gemara now explains. on the second line. Kevan delo beidon. Beidon means at the time of. Kevan delo beidon chiyuva demoror hu deochilei. Since he is eating the chazeres, which is the moror vegetable, but he is eating it at a point in the Seder, which is not the time. We haven't reached the time for the moror yet. Bebore pri ha'adoma hu deochilei. He will be eating the vegetable by the simple recitation of the Borei Pri Ha'adamah bracha, which is known as a Birchas Hananim. It's a bracha that one makes on all food items before he benefits, enjoys the food item. However, this bracha of Borei Pri Ha'adamah is not a Birchas HaMitzvah. V'dilma lo ichvan l'moror, and even though the Gemara uses the word v'dilma, it's explained by the Meforshim, he certainly does not have in mind for the mitzvah of the moror. Hilchach, since he does not have the moror in mind, he is going to be eating the moror vegetable as karpas with the recitation of a simple borei pri adamah, not having in mind the moror. Hilchach boi l'mahader l'gbuli l'shem moror. Therefore, later on, he will have to do a second dipping of the chazeres with the intent then of fulfilling the mitzvah of moror. Di salka daitach mitzvah lo baya kavona. If you were to think that mitzvahs can be fulfilled even without specific intent for its fulfillment, lama loch trei tibuli. Why is there any necessity of doing a second dipping? V'ha tovil le'chado zimna. He has already dipped during the first dipping using the moror material, thereby having fulfilled the mitzvah of moror, if you were to say that mitzvahs don't require kavana. And yet, the Mishnah says very clearly that he does a first dipping with the chazeres, and then later on, they bring out the chazeres for a second dipping. So what was taking place during the first dipping? So Rish Lakish explains, during the first dipping, he did not have any moror intent. And as a result of that, he did not fulfill the mitzvah of moror. When will he fulfill the mitzvah moror? Later on, during the second dipping. And at that point, he'll have intent for the mitzvah of moror. The Gemara rejects this, attempts to reject it, by a question, and you'll notice that the length of Gemara invested in this rejection is illustrated by our Dalet Dechia long marking that you find to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. You see a dalet that's encircled with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines of Gemara that are parallel to this vertical dashed line form the rejection. Following the rejection, there will be an attempt to restore Reish Lakish's position, at least as a machlokes tanoim. In other words, there will be an opinion upon whom he can base himself. But in the meantime, we will embark on a rejection of Reish Lakish. The Gemara says, Mimai. From where do you see so conclusively that mitzvahs tzrichos kavona? Dilma, and with our markings, we've also used this double underline to highlight the word dilma, which at each point is the point at which the Gemara challenges Reish Lakish's contention. Dilma li oilam mitzvahs ein tzrichos kavona. I will tell you that, as a general rule, mitzvahs do not require specific intention to fulfill them, and nevertheless, one does fulfill the mitzvah. Udeko amris tre tibuli lomali, and you ask then, why does the Mishnah require a second dipping of the chazeres, of that very same moror material? If in fact, as we are trying to claim right now that mitzvahs ain't tzrichos kavona, so then you'll ask, well then, what do you need the second dipping for? Well, I can answer. Ki hechi delehevei hekeira latinokos. We do the second dipping so as to arouse the curiosity of the children and thereby motivate them to ask questions, so that we will do things that may appear to be unusual, or unnecessary, simply to arouse the children's curiosity, which motivates them to ask questions. And the questions that children raise during the Seder happens to be an integral part of the mitzvah of the Higadata Levincha, which is the special mitzvah of telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt, to the children. So that the purpose of the second dipping might very well be simply to arouse the curiosity of the children. The Chitema, and well, if you'll try to challenge this explanation by asking Im Kain, if the two dippings, specifically the second dipping, is to arouse, or if the need for two dippings, one so early in the meal and a second one later, is to arouse the curiosity of children, l'shaminon sha'ar yirokos, the Mishnah should have taught as for the first dipping, some other vegetable, something else, celery, potatoes, radishes. Why did the Mishnah teach specifically the case of chazeres as the material used for the first dipping? To that we respond and say, and we can say, e ashmin and shar yarokas, if the Mishnah had taught other vegetables for the first dipping, mean non-moror vegetables for the first dipping, hava amino, I would have thought, hecho diiko shar yarokos, who deboinon tre tibule, I might have thought that the only time that you'll have two dippings is if you have a variety of vegetables. You have a choice. In other words, you have a vegetable in addition to the moror vegetable. Aval chazeres l'chuda. I, however, would have thought that had I had just chazeres, that was the only vegetable I had available on the Seder night, lo boi tre tibuli, that then I would not require two dippings. Komash Molon, the role of the Mishnah is to teach me the afilu chazeres, that even if all he has is just the chazeres, bo'inon tre tibuli, we still require two dippings, ki hechi deleve be hekera latinokos, so as to arouse the curiosity of the children. The oid, look, before we go on, and the whole purpose then for the two dippings is simply to arouse the curiosity of the children, but not because he needs the second dipping to fulfill the mitzvah of moror. He, in the case that he had only chazeres, would have fulfilled the mitzvah at the first dipping of the chazeres, and even if you tell me that he didn't have specific moror intent. The Oid Tanya, and furthermore, we have a Tanaic source that says explicitly that mitzvahs ain tzrichas kavona. We have a source that features a number of different points of halacha, but with our markings, you'll notice we've dashed, underlined only one phrase, which is of central significance to our current discussion. The source deals with the consumption of moror, with the eating of the moror. Ochlon demai, yotza demai is a situation of one bought produce from an ignoramus, an amoretz, and there's a certain level of doubt whether he tithed it. Nevertheless, if one ate demai, this suffek, we'll call it suffek tithed moror, he is yotza, he fulfills his obligation. We are not going to say any further on that particular aspect of this source. Ochlon beloy miskaven yotzan. This is the main reason we're bringing the source in. It says here that if he ate the moror without specific mitzvah intent, he nevertheless has fulfilled the requirement. Ochlon lechatzoyin yotzan. If he eats the moror in parts, there's a minimum quantity that one must eat. Let us say it is a kezias. If he ate the kezias of moror, but not in one shot, he is nevertheless yotzi, fulfills his requirement. Provided he doesn't pause between the two parts of his eating, the two, let's say, the two halves of the shiur kezias, the olive size amount of mora that he's supposed to eat, provided he doesn't pause between them too long. The shi'ur, the pause that is considered the time limit, is referred to by the term kedei achilas pras. So provided he doesn't wait longer than that time, he is in fulfillment of his requirement. Nevertheless, the main point, what do we see? We see from this entire discussion that one cannot argue that the Mishnah illustrates the idea that mitzvah shrichas kavona. Rather, we can argue mitzvah ain't shrichas kavona, and if you'll ask, if that be the case, then why is there a necessity for a second dipping if, in fact, he was yotze with the first moror, the first chazeres consumption? To that we answer, the second dipping is part of our attempt to arouse the curiosity of the children. And furthermore, we see a Tanaic source that indicates that eating of the moror, even without kavana, one fulfills his requirement. This poses a major challenge to Reish Lakish's approach. The Gemara responds, Tanoihi. The entire issue of Mitzvah Srichas Kavona is a Tanaic controversy. The Rashbam points out toward the end of the narrow lines, Tanoihi, Dehai Tana Les Le Mitzvah Srichas Kavona. The Tana we already learned will show one Tanaic opinion, one school of thought. For Rabbi Yossi, who we are about to see, Is Le, he holds that Mitzvah Srichas Kavona. Desanyo, the source continues, now presenting the second opinion, the second Tanaic opinion that will support Reish Lakish, and that is, when we say second, that's the other side of the argument, the other side of the scale. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afalpi Shetibel B'Chazeres, even though he used for his first dipping the Chazeres vegetable, which is the vegetable suitable for Moror, Mitzvah Lahavi Lefonov Chazeres v'charoses u'shnei tafshilin. Nevertheless, there's an obligation to bring out the chazeres, the charoses, and two cooked items. So, with this source in mind, we are supposedly seeing an opinion that reflects the idea that mitzvah srichas kavona. The Gemara, though, is relentless and asks about kati mimai. Notice how the house form is flipped over, showing that this is to the contrary. Against the position taken by Reish Lakish. From here, who says that you see mitzvah srichas kavona? Dilma kosov Rabbi Yossi mitzvahs ein srichas kavona. Maybe Rabbi Yossi himself holds, unlike Reish Lakish, namely that mitzvahs do not require specific intent. V'hai deboinon tre tibuli, and that which we do require a second dipping, two dippings, that's ki hechi devi Hekero the Tinokos. That's in order to arouse the curiosity of the children. So to this we respond in defense of Reish Lakish's position. Im Kain, my mitzvah. If the whole purpose was simply to arouse child curiosity, the source wouldn't have used, Rabbi Yossi would not have used the word mitzvah. Mitzvah indicates a solid obligation. A mitzvah, as we know, means something that's obligatory. And the fact that the source used the term mitzvah in the context of bringing the chazeres to the fore, that shows that the first time he was not yotze, and that that the mitzvah of moror needs yet to be accomplished. So the first dipping, even though it involved the use of chazeres, nevertheless he did not fulfill the mitzvah because mitzvahs srichas kavona according to Rabbi Yossi. At this point in the Gemara, you notice that we have a bracketed section. We have a note that accompanies this bracketed section on the inside margin. Achrei hasograim, after the bracketed section, by the way, whose length is indicated by the length indicator that you see to the immediate right-hand side of Gemara text, a vertical dashed dotted line, upon whose end you'll notice the end of the bracketed text in the Gemara itself. So our note says that after the bracketed section, Chayzeres, Hagemara Chayzeres Le'inyan Shnei Hatibul, and the Gemara will go back to the discussion concerning the need for two dippings. Habosis L'Sagraim Elu, the basis of our use of these brackets, Nimsa B'Divrei Haran, Daf Chof Hei Amad Aleph B'Dapi Arif Dibra Masel Heicha, that can be found in the Ran commentary, V'chein Ayin Toisus Kan Dibra Masel Omer Av Huna, and you can see an allusion to this in Toisus that begins with the words Omer Av Huna at the bottom of the page. As we look to the Gemara at the end of the brackets, you'll notice that, in fact, that's the subject of the Gemara, where it discusses the situation of two dippings, yes or no, in the case where he does not have other vegetables. With all of that introduction having been said, we can now turn to the bracketed section itself. My Shnei Tavshilin. The arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text pointing to this line has an indication of Omid Aleph written right under it. That means to glance back to Omid Aleph, also staying up to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, skimming down the page, and you'll notice three lines from the bottom, an arrow appears there as well with an Omid Beis indicator showing from where this particular comment is coming from. Before we go further, just to repeat ourselves a little bit. Here, the Gemara is going to be dwelling on the issue of the Shnei Tavshilin, when right up till this point, we were dealing with the issue of Tibulim, of dippings. And as we mentioned, the Gemara, after the bracketed section, will return to the issue of the dippings. In the meantime, though, the Gemara wants to know more about these Shnei Tavshilin. So on the outside margin of our Gemara, you'll also notice an Osei Mivneh. Within the Gemara itself, there are triangles that appear. These are explained. Shitois b'mahu shnei tavshilin masnisim. We'll see different opinions of what constitutes the two cooked items that the Mishnah made reference to. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav Huna. What are the shnei tavshilin? Silka v'aroiza. Sukkah is a type of vegetable, and arroza is very likely rice. Rava have mehader asuk of arroza, hoyo venofik mipume de ravuna. Rava went out of his way to use as his two tafshilin these two items, sukkah and arroza, simply because Ravuna mentioned it. One can appreciate this comment in light of the Tosfos that it appears right under the Gemara text, Silka Varoza, and Tosfos says, V'kol shekein shnei minei basar. All the more so, if one had two types of meat, that would be even a better fulfillment of the shnei tafshilin. But nevertheless, Rava, since Rav Huna mentioned these as means of fulfilling the shnei tafshilin, he went out of his way to use specifically Silka Varoza. You'll notice with the markings we have an internal bracketed section. We use a different shape brackets to show the difference. The length of these brackets is also indicated by a length marker of its own. You'll notice to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text a vertical dotted line. After this bracketed section, the list of opinions of what Shnei Tavshilin continues with Chizkiah, followed by Rav Yosef and Ravina. Within the bracketed section, since arroza was mentioned, since rice was mentioned, the Gemara gets off on a bit of a tangent dealing with that. So, being that we've introduced the Gemara, keeping in mind that the list of opinions as to defining what Shnei Tavshilin will continue after this bracketed section, let's now learn the Gemara straight through. Omar of Ashi. Shma mino midu Rav Huna. We can learn from Rav Huna that said that we use as one of the Shnei Tavshilin cooked rice. In other words, we're cooking the rice. And in cooking the rice, we're exposing the rice to water and then heating it up. And in the course of our preparation, we don't seem to concern ourselves whatsoever with the possibility of chometz taking place. So, when does one concern himself with chometz? So, according to this Gemara, it is a concern, provided you're dealing with what's known as that which is a min dogon, chamisha mine dogon, including wheat and barley and three other things. But rice is not included. There is, however, an opinion, and that is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that rice, that orez, is a type of dogon. Dogon being an umbrella expression including different types of grains, if you will, that are liable to becoming chometz. Chometz being, of course, prohibited on Pesach. So from the fact that Rav Huna says, cook up the rice, that will constitute one of the Shnei Tavshilin. In cooking up rice, what happens is that the rice will be sitting in water, and enough time for, if it weren't rice, but rather wheat, it might very well just become chometz. The fermentation processes sometimes is used to translate this, will set in. However, as far as rice is concerned, when you're looking at things through Rav Huna's opinion, rice is not part of a chometz discussion. So Rav Ashi says that we can conclude from Rav Huna, the less the chayish, the ha, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that he does not worry or concern himself with the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Desanya, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri omer, orez min doganhu. Orez does fall under the umbrella of dogon. Dogon being the group of grains through which one can actually fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, and a category that one will have to worry about chometz from taking place if left exposed to the water for too long. And Rav Yochanan Nuri says that orez is a min dogon hu v'chayoven al chimutzo kores, and if one leaves it sitting in the water for too long, it would become chometz, and if one were to eat it, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, it would be chayav the kores penalty, which is a very severe offense. The odom yotze bo yedei chavasu bepesach, and if one used rice in the making of matzahs, namely caring for the rice flour, preventing it or processing it before it becomes chometz, it would then be a good matzah, would be suitable for matzahs, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holding you would fulfill your matzah requirement. But as far as Rav Huna is concerned, since the rice constitutes one of the Shnei Tavshilin, and there is no concern whatsoever of it becoming chometz, because it, according to Rav Huna, it cannot become chometz, because according to Rav Huna, he doesn't accept Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's classification of orez as a min dogon, therefore it can be cooked without any chometz worry. Back to the list of opinions as to what constitutes shnei tavshilin. Chizkia amar filu dag ubeitza sha'olav. This Chizkia seems to be describing a fish that's prepared in an egg batter. So that you have fish with egg on it. The fish constitutes one tafshil, and the baits of the egg another tafshil. Even though it may be served as one food item, nevertheless, since it's made of these two different ingredients, it constitutes shnei tafshilin. Rav Yosef Omar, tzorich shnei mine bosar. Rav Yosef has his own opinion, and he says you need to have two types of meat. Echad zecher lePesach, veEchad zecher lChagiga. The two types of meat are in commemoration of the two korbanos that were present at the original, at the Beis Hamikdash Seder night. There was a korban Pesach, and there was also a korban Chagiga, a Chagiga sacrifice. Ravino Omar afilu groma ubishula. Ravino says that shnei tavshilin can be accomplished even with a piece of meat and the soup in which it is cooked. As you can see, the bracketed section ends here, thereby picking up again with the issue of the dippings. Pshita hecha deika sha'ar yirakas. It's obvious that if a person has more than just a chazeres vegetable, that he will use one of the other vegetables for the first dipping. That's mevorech asha'ar yirakos borei pri adama v'ochil. He will use one of the other vegetables for his first dipping and make a brocha of borei pri adama for that, which for the first dipping, which we call the karpas. The hadar, and then later on, mevorech al achilas moror v'ochil. And then later on, when he'll use his chazeres vegetable for the second dipping, for the fulfillment of the mitzvah of moror, and for that he makes a birchas mitzvah asher kitchano b'mitzvisov v'tzivano al achilas moror. So that is obvious. The Gemara goes on, though, hecha deleka l'chaso mai. Let us say he has only chaso. Chaso is often translated as lettuce, and for our purposes, it's the chazeres that we saw in the Mishnah. So let us say he has only the chazeres. What is the halacha? So here we see a diamond shape. This draws our attention to the structural note on the outside margin. And by the way, we should have noted that, never too late though, we have a topic heading that introduces this section of Gemara. Let's read it together. The Nose says, features mi she'ein lo shnei yirokos l'shnei atibulim elo chaso bilvad. Someone who has only chaso for the dippings. Mosai yivorech birchas hamitzvah al hamorah. When should he make the brocha of asher kitshonu b'mitzvah v'tzvonu al achilas moror in such a case? The Mivneh, the structural note, features the diamond. Shnei deos benoisana. We will see regarding this very issue two opinions. So we're talking once again about someone that has just chasa and he needs to do two dippings. What does he do by way of the brochas? Omar Ravuna, the Gemara continues, mevorech meikoro amoror borei pri adam of ochil. He will use his chasa for the first dipping and make a brocha of borei pri adama and eat it. Ulebesof for the second dipping, mevorech oleo al achilas moror v'ochil. He will only later on, meaning only at the second dipping, will he then make the brocha for the moror. The Tosfos points out that Rav Huna holds like Reish Lakish that mitzvos tzrichos kavona. And as a result of that, during the first dipping, since he does not have kavona at that point for the mitzvah of moror, he's going to be making only the borei pri adama, and later on, when he does have the kavona for the mitzvah of moror, he will then make his brichas mitzvah asher kitchanu b'sozofenu al achilas moror. The Gemara continues, Maskif lo rachista. Rav Chista challenges Rav Huna and says, Li'achar shemilei kreisoi heimenu, chozer mevorech oleo. After he's already eaten the moror, he's eaten it at the beginning, how is it possible that he is going to recite only later on the brocha for moror? The Tosfos at the top points out that Rav Chista is not arguing regarding the issue of the mitzvah tzrichas kavona. It is true that you have to have kavona, even according to Rav Chista, in order to fulfill the mitzvah. But nevertheless, he feels that it's not right to make the bracha on the moror, on the mitzvah moror, after you've already filled yourself up with that very vegetable. So Elo Omer Rav Chista. Rav Chista has his opinion and says, before we go on, let's just read the question again at the top line. Maskif Rav Chista, Li'achar Shimilu Kreiso Heimenu, after he's filled his stomach up with the Chazeres, Chozer Mevorech Aleo, he's going to then make the bracha later on over it. Elo Omer Rav Chista, Meikora Mevorech Aleo Borei Pri Adama V'al Achilas Moror V'Ochil. Since he has only the chazeres, he has only the lettuce, which is the moror vegetable, for both dippings. He will, at the first dipping, make a Borei Pri Adama and the bracha for Achilas Maror, the Brichas HaMitzvah. He will eat it. Lulabasof, Ochil Achilas Chasa, below bracha. And then he will make a second dipping using the Chazeres, using the lettuce, and not make a bracha. The Ran explains that as far as Rav Chisda is concerned, the second dipping, according to the Ran, is Mishum Heker Bi'alma. B'Surya Ovid K'Rav Huna. In Surya they practiced like Rav Huna, that namely that the Birchas HaMitzvah, in the event that he has only Chasa for both dippings, he'll make the Birchas HaMitzvah on the second dipping. Rav Sheshes Breid Rav Yeshua Ovid K'Rav Chisda. And he practiced like Rav Chisda, that said that if you have only Chasa for both dippings, you make both brachas, the Birchas HaNenin and the Birchas HaMitzvah, on the first dipping. V'Hilchisa Kavosei de Rav Chisda. The Gemara rules that in the event that you have just Chasa, you should follow Rav Chisda's practice. Rav Acha Breid de Rova Mahadar Ashar Yerokos. Rav Acha went out of his way to make sure that he had a second type of vegetable, lafuke nafshe mipluta, so as to distance himself from controversy. As we mentioned at the beginning of this last section of Gemara, that in the event that he has shar yirokos, then it's clear that for the first dipping, you make simply a borei pri adama and eat the non-moror vegetable, eat the celery or the potato, whatever your practice happens to be, and then later on, you eat the moror vegetable. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.